Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study, devotional studies, based on the Gospel of John. But before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to open up thy very words, Father. We pray the Holy Spirit of God would be our guide and teacher today. We pray for the saint of God that's listening, that these studies today would be an encouragement to them, would build them up, help them grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for the lost soul that may be listening today, that's never placed their faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else, to pay for their sins, past, present, and future, and to secure them a home in heaven. We pray that this would be the very day that they would believe in their heart, by faith, that Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day. Father, we'll rejoice with the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth this very day. Father, we commit this time into thy hand. We ask you to have your will in your way. In our study today, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today, we start with the passage in John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verses 7 through 11. So let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 16 and read together verses 7 through 11. Jesus is speaking here and he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." There are not many things reliable in the world anymore. That which seems to be so true turns out to be false. We search for something that we can be sure about. Doubt has grown to be such a monster that we don't believe anything anymore. We need something, do we not, that we can be sure about? Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." There is only one source that is reliable, and only one record that is without error. That source is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that record is the Word of God. The disciples had been saddened by the news that Jesus was going away. In verse 6 of John 16, Jesus says, "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." But in verse 7 through verse 11, Jesus unfolds the divine plan that must be followed. There are three truths revealed here that will make up our lesson. The first one is the truth about a person. The truth about a person. In verse 7, John chapter 16, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." Five times in this one verse, the word "I" is used in describing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are the five. I tell you, number one. I go away, number two. For if I go not away, number three, but if I depart, number four, and number five, I will send. Everything about real Christianity is based upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is it not? Anything that is not Christ-centered is not according to the Word of God. Every step that Jesus made while on earth was for the glory of God and good of man. Now he says, it is expedient for you that I go away. His going away means something to us. It was expedient. It means every believer can have Christ a little nearer. It means the position of Christ is a little clearer. It means heaven is a little dearer. You can count on Jesus to do everything he said he would do because he never fails. Now, the second truth is the truth about a plan. The truth about a plan. In verse 7, Jesus says, "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." There was a divine plan designed before the foundation of the world. In Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 23, the Bible says this, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." The council of heaven met before the foundation of the world. And in this divine plan was the incarnation of the Son of God. His ministry of miracles, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his coming again. In 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." In this great plan of God was the coming into the world of the Holy Spirit. This plan could not be altered. It was time for the return of Christ to heaven before the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Pentecost means the 50th day after the Passover. Pentecost will never come again. This was a day so planned that when Christ returned, the Holy Spirit came. The third and last truth is the truth about a purpose. The truth about a purpose. In verse 8, in John chapter 16, we read this, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." While we have a lot of false teaching about the Holy Spirit, the real truth about the purpose of his coming into the world was to reprove or make conscious sin, righteousness, and judgment. You see, we are born in sin and would forever remain in sin except the Holy Spirit reproves us. In John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 44, the Bible says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." The truth about the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming into the world is clearly outlined in the Word of God. He has come to convict the world of their sin. He has come to draw men to Calvary. He has come to indwell the believer. He has come to empower us for the work. He has come to direct our steps until we arrive home. God's great purpose is being fulfilled in the work of the Holy Spirit. Before we move on to our next passage, let me say this. The truth. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." He has told you the truth about yourself and your need. The question is, what will you do about it? Now, let's go to John 16, the Gospel of John chapter 16, and let's read together verses 12 through 15. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Again, the words of Jesus. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall shew it unto you." Jesus Christ made known that there were many things he did not reveal to the disciples because they would not be able to bear it. The things that were to take place in the days to come would have never been understood by these followers of Jesus. Jesus did tell these troubled followers of his that the Holy Spirit would come and he would reveal unto them the truth concerning the things that were now a mystery. He said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew it, and he will show you things to come." This is still true. The natural man, the unregenerated heart, cannot understand spiritual things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 14, the Bible says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." There is only one way for a person to understand the things of God, and that is through the person of the Holy Spirit. The glorious truth is that the Holy Spirit does reveal to the believer things that are not revealed to the world. There are three things that Jesus mentioned that the Spirit would reveal, and has revealed to every believer. First of all, He opened my eyes to the hope of the saved. He opened my eyes to the hope of the saved. In John 16, verse 13, the Bible says, "And He will shew you things to come." Before a person is saved, they are blinded to the future and the things to come. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." The reason it is so hard to win sinners to Christ is because they have no understanding or the knowledge of things to come. Once a person has received Christ for salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell, and their eyes are open to the things to come. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." You see, through the blessed Holy Spirit, He lets us look out into the future and see the glorious things that are to come. First of all, He opened my eyes to the rapture. He opened my eyes to the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "For the Lord Himself should descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." Not only did He open my eyes to the rapture, but He opened my eyes to the reunion. Yes, He opened my eyes to the reunion. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, "But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Amen. Also, He opened my eyes to the residence. He opened my eyes to the residence. In Revelation chapter 21, in verse 2, the Bible says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." The things that the unsaved are blind to are things to come, yet they are revealed to the believer. Amen. So we see He opened my eyes to the hope of the saved. Number two, He opened my eyes to the honor of the Savior. He opened my eyes to the honor of the Savior. In verse 14 of John 16, the Bible says, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall shew it unto you." You see, the world has very little respect for Jesus Christ. While He was here in person, the multitudes despised Him and rejected His teachings. In Mark chapter 3, Verse 22, the Bible says, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, they're saying this about Jesus now, they said this about Jesus, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. Today, the name of Jesus is slandered. Men use it in vain while they are nestled in a cesspool of sin. The person that takes his precious name in vain have never known the glory of Christ. What a difference it makes in the life of the person who has received Christ as their personal Savior. The Holy Spirit revealing unto them the glory of Christ, the name that was once an expression of vanity now becomes so precious. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 10, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. The glory of Christ is unseen to the unsaved. But for the child of God, the Holy Spirit has revealed his glory. He is precious to the believer, amen. Is he not precious to you, my dear friend? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. So we've seen so far that he opened my eyes, amen. He opened mine eyes to the hope of the saved. He opened my eyes to the honor of the Savior. And number three, he opened my eyes to the heritage of the saints. He opened my eyes to the heritage of the saints. Now in verse 15 of the Gospel of John, chapter 16, Jesus said, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall shew it unto you. You see, this world has the idea that man owns the earth, and that soon he will conquer the planets in space and own that too. More people have been killed in order to possess land than any other thing this world has ever known. Nations, countries, kingdoms, and people may fight over it and kill each other to possess a little more of it. But one thing the natural man doesn't know, and that is, it all belongs to God. Amen. In John chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You see, blinded by unbelief, the unsaved cannot understand this. The one thing the blessed Holy Spirit opens the believers to, and that is the possessor of this earth. In Psalm 24, verse 1, Psalm 24, verse 1, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. My dear friend, here is a precious truth revealed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, all things that the Father hath are mine. God created and owns it all. Jesus was in his heir to all the Father's possessions. Therefore, if we belong to him, We are joint heirs with him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, we're reminded of this. Because the Bible says, and if the children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The world loves the world and couldn't understand such teaching as this. But the believer's eyes have been opened to understand how our Heavenly Father owns it all, and we are heirs to all of it. He opened mine eyes. He opened my eyes. The first work of the Holy Spirit is to reprove sin or to make you conscious of your need. My dear friend listening today, who are still unsaved, should heed that call this very hour. You should come to Jesus right now and enjoy these glorious benefits. You may say to yourself, what do you mean I need to come to Jesus now? Well, what I mean by that is, if you're not trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else to pay for all your sins, past, present, and future, and secure you a home in heaven, then if you died right now, you would end up in a lake of fire. In other words, if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ's shed blood and nothing else to save you from going to that sinner's hell and to pay for all your sins, then you're trusting in something else other than that. And that's what the Bible calls self-righteousness. Because your righteousness and my righteousness can do absolutely nothing for you and I. The only righteousness that you and I need is Christ's righteousness. He was the only sinless person. He never sinned. His blood was sinless. And he shed his precious blood. That was the payment to the Father to pay for all our sins, past, present, and future. So to come to Jesus now, what you must do is to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, shed blood, and nothing else, to pay for all your sins, past, present, and future, and secure you a home in heaven. That's all you have to do. Amen. What are you trusting in? If it's not the shed blood of Jesus Christ, then the sad news is, if you died, you'd go to hell. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, we've come to the end of our broadcast today. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you listening today to be on the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.